In Baghdad, we have a group of rabbis who are going to call themselves the Gaonim. Gaon is a very interesting title, Mr. Excellence, his Excellency. The Gaonim were the rabbis who lived under Islam in the 9th and 10th century. They wrote rabbinic rulings called responsa, and these responsa, as head of rabbinic academies, are extant and allow us to construct something about this late period of encounter between Judaism and Islam. We have one particular responsa written by a rabbi named Shrira Gaon. Every one of them, they only use their first name and then afterwards the title Gaon. Shrira was asked the question, so how do you legitimate yourself? I mean, he was asked it a little bit differently than that. And what he did was to write a rabbinical responsa where he began with Moses, and he went all the way until Shrira, describing one generation after another. He called this, or it was called, a shalshelet haKabbalah, a kind of chain of tradition, legitimating the rabbis in his own day all the way back to the beginnings. Unbroken chain of tradition. Mentioning all kinds of names, rabbis and so on, many of them we don't have nothing, know nothing about except for their names. But nevertheless, here we have a kind of history, a history written for apologetic or for political purposes, obviously, but nevertheless, an attempt to reconstruct the previous history. So for example, he mentions all of the Gaonim from the 8th century. Can't tell you much about them, what they did, their rulings, and so we don't have them. We only have from the 9th and 10th century, but nevertheless, at least we have their names because of Shrira. So one of our sources is rabbinical responsa, that is Gaonic responsa. A second are governmental records in Baghdad recording the financial transactions between Jews and Muslims. And here we see as well a very interesting phenomenon that there were some rich Jews that did very well in Baghdad and that they were bankers and that they were businessmen and that they traded all over the place and that they had relationships even with the caliphate, even with the Muslim government itself. We will come back and talk about specifically several of those families in later lectures. There is one particular writing that needs to be mentioned up front because I will be relying on it later when I talk about our history. And that is a chronicle written by a man by the name of Nathan the Babylonian. Nathan lived at the end of the early part of the 10th century, in the 900s, and wrote a chronicle in which he primarily describes his hero, who we will have much to say about later on, called Sadia Gaon. His favorite. Sadia was involved in many controversies, and he had enemies, he had people that loved him, but clearly he is a dominating personality in this period, the end of the 9th and 10th century. What we have is a kind of history of the period preceding Sadia and after Sadia. Sadia is in the middle of our picture, but we have here a remarkable portrait, a fascinating portrait of internal controversies among Jewish leaders, describing the names of these people and so on. And from this, the historian is able to reconstruct from this text, which was written in support of Sadia, a great deal about the political and cultural life of Jews living in Baghdad during this period of time. But I want to spend the rest of my time, or most of the rest of my time, I don't have too much time left in this lecture, on one important source which has revolutionized the study of Jewish life in this era. In many respects, it parallels, or it is as weighty as the famous Dead Sea Scrolls, which revolutionized the study of ancient Christianity and Judaism. These texts really revolutionized the study of life in the medieval world. They are from the Cairo Geniza. A Geniza is a cemetery for burying Jewish books. Jews, when they have a book that is written in Hebrew, are not able to simply throw it out in the garbage, but they bury it like they bury human beings, because this is the word, the script is the holy word of God. It is written in Hebrew. But even text, and as you will see, the Jews spoke Arabic, and they wrote an Arabic with Hebrew characters called Judeo-Arabic. This was very common among other cultures, among other Jewish cultures as well. Judeo-Italian, we have Ladino, which is Judeo-Spanish, we have Yiddish, which is German and Hebrew and so on. Here we have Judeo-Arabic. They wrote it in Hebrew characters, although the language is Arabic, a colloquial Arabic which they spoke. These texts, too, had to be discarded, and since they were written with Hebrew characters, they were put in a kind of chamber, put away, and buried.